I want to speak today about, I said before I went away, I felt God wanted us to hear a lot of teaching on faith, because Jesus is coming. And one thing he said before he returned, he said, it was a rhetoric question. He said, will I find faith in the church? That was his greatest concern. That when he returns, he desires to find the people of biblical faith. And it's so important we be people of biblical faith, because without faith, the scriptures say, it's impossible to believe God. But also, the Bible says, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. And we are in Christ. So if we are believers and we are in Christ who has overcome the world, we are overcomers and we should live an overcoming life. But how do we do that? How do we live a life which has challenges, undoubted, real challenges, but in the midst of those challenges, overcome? In the midst of, as Matt said, looking at bankruptcy, coming into a place of abundance, overcoming. How do we do that when we've got asthma and we come out of here breathing perfectly? We give God all glory for that. It was such a wonderful, wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Friday night. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory. So we've got to be people who understand what faith is, to be people who live victoriously and be people who overcome. Father, as we come to your word now, Lord, I ask that you would help us understand the keys that you've given us to overcome. Father, you have said that we are not only overcomers, that every battle we enter into, we would not just overcome, but we would be more than conquerors. Be people that not only overcome, but are able to plunder the goods of the enemy. Father, I ask that you show us what true faith is. That we would not just be religious, but we would be a people who stand. Because the word of God never fails. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So faith is the victory. And I want to just say today, I want to be quick because we've had a lot of other stuff and it was just a great meeting on Friday. But faith, if we are people of faith, biblical faith, we can understand that we are, and you can understand if someone else is a person of biblical faith. How? Because faith has a language. Now, I want to say it here today. The Holy Spirit showed me before I preach this message today, the message I'm going to preach, some of it has been taken and exaggerated and extrapolated beyond the truth, because the enemy does that with the best doctrines. The places in the Bible where the most gold is, the enemy distorts those doctrines and gets false teachers to preach them and to change them. But the problem with a lot of the body is they hear it, they recognize it, and rather than look for the truth, they respond to error. And so a lot of good faith teaching, people reject it because they've heard error in it. But God doesn't want you to reject a word. He wants you to look for what is true in it. A lot of people have rejected all the word of faith movement because there's some excesses in there. I want to tell you there's gold in there too. Particularly the teaching about your words and your confession. Now the error in word faith teaching is the error that my words, apart from God, just my words because I'm made in the image of God, are creative. Therefore, I am a creator. And that leads to the teaching, the doctrine, you've probably heard it, that we are little gods. You know, everyone who preaches that doctrine, you know what they do? If you're in their church, they want you to worship them. They want you to worship the leader. But that's natural if you think you're a little god. But there's a teaching that says we are little gods. We're not little gods. There's one God. But we are connected to him by virtue of being filled with his Spirit. And his plan in the first place was that we would be connected to him, live in his presence through the Holy Spirit, and from that place we would exercise dominion. So we would be powerful. And I want to speak about how we exercise dominion and the importance today of our words and our confession and our tongue and what comes out of our mouth. Some people think it doesn't matter what comes out of our mouth. It does matter what comes out of your mouth. Why does it matter? I tell you what, this is the words of Jesus, and they can never fail. So if you just open your Bible, you go to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said this in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'll just go ahead to verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. You say, so words don't matter. Every idle word, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Why is that? Because our mouth actually reveals what we believe. What comes out of your mouth actually reveals what is in your heart and what is the very core of your belief system. It is revealed through the things we speak. It is revealed by what we speak. So the words, and if we speak words of faith, Jesus will know on that day that we believe. If we speak words of unbelief, then we've never believed. So our words are important. And a lot of us know some of the scriptures we're going to read, but Proverbs 18:23 says the power of life and death is in its tongue, is in the tongue. Proverbs 15:4 speaks about the fruit. We eat of the fruit of the tongue. The tongue of our words bring healing and victory. So many other scriptures relating to our words and what we speak. And Jesus said his words are words of spirit and life. That he spoke and dead people were raised because it was a word that contained life. James chapter 3 says this, that the tongue is a little member, verse 5, though it's a little member, in the previous four verses, James makes the point that a man who is perfect or mature has learned to bridle his mouth. And he goes on to speak about bits in horses' mouths. And the point of that is that he says the tongue is like the bit in the horse's mouth. It steers where the horse goes. Your tongue steers the direction of your life. What comes out of your mouth determines where your life ends up. What we speak, what we decree, what we confess is very instrumental where we end up in life. And he says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is so set above our body, above our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So this is the person who's not walking in the Spirit. Their tongue, our tongue can be set on fire by hell. We can speak in agreement. Instead of speaking in agreement with heaven, we can be people who speak in agreement with hell. And when we do that, we'd be a people of the curse. There's only two realities in life. We're people that live under the blessing or under the curse. When we allow Satan to move, and he begins by bringing fear into our hearts, and if we allow that fear to manifest and we speak from it, Every one of those actions and words will be negative, and we end up cursing rather than blessing. But God says that in the book of James, that shouldn't be so. Out of our mouth, we should only bless. It's what I want us to understand today, and I want to just talk rather than preach, is that God wants us to be disciplined with what we speak. Part of a mature person, they learn to control what comes out of their mouth because they know what comes out of their mouth is powerful. And it is particularly important, it is particularly important at moments of trepidation or fear that we understand that the enemy is trying to move our mouths. When we're under spiritual attack, the enemy is trying to get us to curse ourselves. Matt just read out a scripture about how he will lend and not be in debt. That's the will of God. And how he will be the head and not the tail. You could be under a situation where the enemy is attacking your finances. And what the enemy wants you to do is become fearful and say, I'm broke, I can't afford anything, and I'll never be able to afford anything. He wants you to curse your own life. And he wants you to speak in agreement with heaven. But what we need to understand is that God is a God of the Word. And God, when he created, he saw chaos, and he saw disorder, and he saw darkness. And the way God brought life and order out of chaos was he spoke the word of God into that chaos. So it's not me just speaking things and saying, because I say it's going to happen. That's called shamanism. I can stand here all day. If someone tells you, you say, I can decree I'm an elephant all day, I will not turn into an elephant. Because my words are not powerful. But when I'm connected to heaven through the Holy Spirit, when I have the Word of God in front of me, and when I confront a catastrophe, when I confront darkness or fear, and instead of speaking in agreement with what the enemy's trying to put in my heart, but I control my emotions, and instead I decree and I declare what God has said and what God is saying in that situation, his Word becomes powerful and his Word becomes creative. So if you're sitting there and the enemy is saying to you, you're going to die of this asthma, you're going to choke or whatever the enemy is trying to say, and you can actually say, well, I'm going to. But the word of faith doesn't decree what is true; it decrees what is real. The reality is that we have been healed by the wounds of Jesus. And God wants us to decree that. And he wants us to declare that. That is what has been done for me. What happens when we declare? See, people throw this teaching out and they say, I don't want to hear anything about that because they confuse it with shamanism teaching. But there are so many things. How did people get victory in all through the Bible? How did people get victory? How are victories won? I tell you, if you go through all the scriptures, the vast majority of supernatural victories that God bought for his people came after they made a declaration of God's word into the face of fearful circumstances. You look at the book of Jericho. God said to Joshua, don't let this book get out of your mouth, out of your eyes. Don't let it out of your sight. Why? Why did he say to him, meditate on the word of God. Don't let it out of your sight. Because that word would get in him, and when he confronted obstacles and giants, he would speak that word into the situation, and that word would become the ultimate reality. That's why when they came to the walls of Jericho, the angel came and told him what God was about to do. Now, they were going to confront the greatest, it's like the strongest army that had ever been at that time. Jericho was a walled city, and nobody could conquer it. Whoever conquered it, they built greater and greater walls, and by the time the Israelites got there, it was considered unconquerable. And they had great army in the city of Jericho. And the armies were very skilled, but undefeated. And God said to Joshua, victory is yours. He said, victory is yours. Those walls are falling. You're going to walk around seven times, and then on the seventh day, you're going to give the shout. So he gave them the word, and they walked around seven times, and he said to the people, what did he say to the people? He said, you're not to say a thing for the 7 days you walk around the wall. He said, you're not to open your mouths. Why did he tell them that? Because he didn't want them speaking in agreement with what the enemy was calling out over the walls. But I tell you what, those walls came down supernaturally. Those walls were brought down by the armies of God, the angels of heaven. When did it happen? Two things are always required for the things the enemy puts up against us in our lives to fall. Firstly is the word. He had the word, and it says, when they shouted on the last day, the walls of Jericho fell. There are many things. Sometimes the enemy puts things in front of your life. You're going to shout at the devils. You're going to shout the victory in the devil's face. You're going to shout the word of God. When he says, you're going to be anxious your whole life. And anxiety's got a grip on you, and it seems to be a giant in your life or a great Jericho. The word of God has said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Sometimes you've got to shout that in the face of the devil, and the victory will come. When we continue to walk and live in agreement with what God has said, and not what we see, not the giants and not the obstacles, we'll find those giants and obstacles continually falling before us because we are believing and walking in agreement with what God has said, and we're declaring what God has said. We want to be people not of just religion. We want to be a people of resurrection life. You know the difference? I'm speaking to you this morning, resurrection life. It's not a made-up sermon. But God wants us to be able to speak and live resurrection. We are never, ever defeated. There's a power that works within us, and it's meant to be in us as a river, not a pond. A power of resurrection, the very power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been promised to work for you. That means you are never defeated. You are never overcome. The victory is always just around the corner. It's God's power is always going to come and redeem that thing. And we're meant to live like that. Yes, we have oppressions, many afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, God delivers them. But how does that victory come? Out of them all, he delivers them. The word of God will never fail, not your circumstances. Your circumstances are not sovereign. There's a lady, I love this passage in 2 Kings chapter 4. There's a passage where a lady came and she was barren. And Elisha came that, it's a wonderful passage, it's about the power of resurrection working in our lives. But Elisha came, and this lady said, this guy's a man of God. Never, never doubt the power of hospitality or blessing, the real servant of God. And this she saw him, that God was working through him. And she said, when he comes, rather than have him sleep out in the desert, we're going to make an upper room in our house. You need to have an upper room in your house. If you have an upper room in your house, you'll never fail. But she said, we're going to have an upper room in our house, and we're going to make it for him so when he comes along. And the man of God came along and he said, these people have been so hospitable to me. What could I do for them? What could God do for them? And the servant Gehazi said, she's got no children. And so he said, well, right, I'm going to bring her down here. So she came down here and he prophesied. He said, according to the word of God, you will have a baby next year. So the baby was born according to the word of God. And it says that after the baby grew, in verse 18, one night went out with his father, and he said to his father, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to the mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up late, he wanted the man of God, shut the door upon her, and she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and laid her servant, drove and said to him, drive and go forward. Do not slacken before unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was, where the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant, look, the Shunammite woman, please run and meet her. Say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. The man of God said, leave her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. The Lord has hidden it from me, but has not told me. She said, didn't I ask you, my Lord? Didn't I say, do not deceive me? Then he said, Gehazi, get your staff ready. So Gehazi, I'm going to fast forward. Gehazi runs ahead, and he lays his staff on the child. The child is still not raised, but Elijah came into the house in verse 32. He was lying there, went in before the Lord, shut the door down, lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his mouth. And basically, there's a wonderful miracle. The child woke, sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes. I want to tell you, before the power of God moved in that situation, the lady, she had a child that had been given to her by God. So she knew that child had been given to her from God. And the will of God was for that, was for life. And when it came, and a circumstance had appeared which was tragic and contrary and opposite to the will of God, she did not speak in agreement with the circumstances, but she spoke the will of God into the situation. It is well. It is well. Do you know, so many times Jesus tried to teach the disciples this. And in Matthew chapter 4, he rebuked them. And people think Jesus was hard, but Jesus is never hard. He's gracious and compassionate. But he rebuked them for becoming fearful in a storm and speaking what the enemy wanted them to say rather than what God had said. They saw a storm, and the storms on the Sea of Galilee are enormous. When they come between two valleys, and if you get stuck there, you think you're gonna. They're huge. And they got stuck on a little boat, and when the storm came, a great windstorm arose, Jesus was asleep in the back. They came and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to them, peace, be still. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? He rebuked them. Why is it that you have no faith? People think Jesus was hard with the disciples, but I want to say, before, the reason he was hard with them, the reason he rebuked them, was that the first verse in that passage says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So they had the word of God. They had the promise of God. But when the storm came, instead of speaking, we are going over to the storm, they said, we're going to go under, we're going to perish. A lot of people do that when the financial storm says, we're going broke. When the sickness storm says, they don't say, but by the wounds of Jesus I'm healed, they say, I'm going to be sick forever. This will never leave me. It is so important. It is so important. It is when we have heard, when we have the word of God, it is so important to speak it. You know why it's so important to speak it? God gave Abraham a promise. And this is how God builds us. He gives us a promise, and it takes a while for us to understand this. But he called Abram, which means high father. And he said, I'm going to make you, out of you, I'm going to make many nations. I'm going to make descendants more numerous than the stars. That's a big thing to believe, isn't it? There are things God calls us to believe in his word. The same power that raised Jesus is in me. There are things he calls which are big. They're not easy to believe. God said to him, you've got a barren wife. She's nearly 100 years old. She's postmenopausal. It's impossible in the nation. I'm going to make a nation out of you and her. The greatest nation there's ever been. So numerous. And Abraham believed and he contended. But you know what? His faith was being built. And towards the end, God helped him. You know how God helped him? That he was able to believe. He changed his name from Abram, which means high father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So every time he spoke and heard that word, he was speaking God's will and God's promise into his situation, not his circumstances. You know what God does? You know what happens? I tell you what, it's so powerful. You may be in prayer and you may get a word. You may get a word. I've had prayer. We're not crazy, you know. Some of us here know, if you're new to the church, we have a ministry to Pakistan, and Pakistan is a dangerous place. But we go there because many years ago, my wife will tell you, 2011, God spoke to me, and He said to me from Psalm 121, "You'll go out and you'll come in." Now that word. Is so powerful. God said, "I will go out and I will come in." Do you know what happens when we decree that word? If we're going over there, if there's all sorts of chaos over there, we decree, "I'm going out and I'm coming in because I have the word." You know what happens when you decree that? When you declare it, and we are kings, priests minister to God. Kings make decrees. Kings make decrees into the heavenlies. When we get the word that says, "You're going out, you're coming in," and I decree it in the prayer meeting, I say, "Where we're going out, and we're coming in. No weapon formed against me will prosper." I tell you what happens. When it's the word of God, not your word, and you're decreeing it into the heavenlies, what happens when you're saying, "I am well, it is well, I'm not sick. I have abundance because Jesus became poor, so I'll become rich in every way. That means I'll have no lack. I will not live in continuous lack." When you decree what God has said over your life and not what your circumstances happen, what happens? What happens in the heavenlies? Because the battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against principalities and powers. Someone read Psalm 103 this morning. It says this: "Bless the Lord," in verse 20. "You, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure." The angels of God, Jacob saw them when he lay down. He didn't have anything, but he had a dream, and he saw the angels going up and coming down. And God revealed this to me many years ago. Angels are responsible for so many things I've seen God do in my life. But you know what? They go up the ladder when there's no faith because they're bored. And they come down the ladder where they hear the word of God and they see someone speaking what God has said in the face of fear, in the face of circumstances, in the face of what the enemy is putting up in front of you, in all the constructs, and you speak the word of God. Angels come and perform the word. That's why we're going to be people of the word. New life is created. Dead bones come alive through when the Spirit of God is present on a man and he speaks. And there's nothing more powerful than being the flow of the Holy Spirit. You hear something from God and you decree it into a meeting. What God has said, I want to tell you, that word, I'm going to tell you what to say, it'll happen right now, but it will never ever fail. It will always manifest because God is a perfecter. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the originator of the word and he's the finisher of the word. Hallelujah. I just feel like God wants us to be people very, very conscious of our confession. And God is raising us to a level to be not natural people, not to be normal people. We're supposed to be distinct people. Normal people, when bad stuff happens, they speak in agreement to just what they see. They speak and they describe what they see. What's the key to it all? What's the key to it all? That what comes out of your mouth agrees with heaven and the angels will perform it rather than just agrees with what everyone else agrees with. What's the key to it all? You know, it's just not a mechanical process. It's not just the fruit of your lips will bring all things. It's not just mechanical, though. Joel said, let the weak say I am strong. Don't say I'm weak. I may feel weak, but the same power that lives in me that raised Jesus from the dead, I'm strong. That's what you say when you're weak. But what's the key of it? It says in Matthew 12, the scripture I started with says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not just a matter of reeling off scriptures. You speak, everything that comes out of your mouth, it comes out of it because it's coming from the core. Your heart is the core. In the scriptures, your heart is more often transmitted in your bowels. It's the core of who you are. The core of who you are determines, that's where you speak from. That's why it says, I believed, therefore I spoke. The way you get a strong core. What how you get a strong core? Every day, Joshua was told, meditate on this book. Meditate on it, read it, see what God has done. What happens in the end? If you keep doing that, the Word of God, you no longer be in the Word is in you. And then you know it, you believe it. It actually becomes part of you. And when the crisis comes, you don't have to go to your Bible. You just speak. Not what is true, not what you see. You speak ultimate reality of the living Word of God. And angels back it up. Belief comes first. I believed, therefore I spoke. And Paul says, and we believed. Therefore we spoke. This book is not a normal book. It's able to change your life. When you read the testimonies, that's why we have testimonies in this church. We want to hear what God is doing. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. So I want us to be people. I want us to be people that understand God is interested. God isn't interested in religion. God isn't interested in you just trying to do the right thing all the time. That's all good. But the world claps that if you're a good moral person. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God is interested in when crisis comes and when disappointment comes, you don't speak in agreement with your circumstances. But you are circumspect. You control your tongue, knowing the power. But you speak. When the enemy says to you, you're a nothing, you say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know that word is able to change your appearance? I'm telling you, your appearance can change through the Word of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully, you're a loser. You'll never count or anything. I am an overcomer and I am more than a conqueror. You'll never have anything. Jesus became poor, so I'll become rich in every way. That means that I'll always have a little bit left over to bless others. We speak not what we see. If you feel weak, let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. I'm filled with the very life of God in me. There is a power within me that cannot be defeated. What happens then? Angels come and minister and make it happen. The Word of God. The Word that God has decreed. It is creative. It is powerful. And it will never, ever, ever, ever fail. Let's bow our heads. Father, I lift up the tongue of every person in this house today, Lord. And Father, I would ask for Holy Ghost conviction that you would show us how much it matters what we speak. What we speak, Lord. Lord, you are the Word become flesh. Lord, you are the one who created life from chaos through the Word. And Father, when there is chaos surrounding us and darkness pressing in, you are asking us to speak your Word into those circumstances so that we can see your power move. Father, I ask that you will give us disciplined tongues. Father, I ask that you'll impart to me today the knowledge that hell wants to set my tongue aflame. That hell wants me to speak nonsense and fear words and garbage, Lord. But Father, you want my mouth to speak in agreement with you. Words of love, words of life, words of healing, words of blessing, words of victory. Father, I decree today, I declare that we will in this church speak the word of faith, that we will speak in agreement with what heaven has said and is saying at this hour. And we will see Jericho's fall. We will see anxieties defeated. We will see sicknesses become as nothing. We will see problems, Jerichos, things the enemy would stop, put in our lives to stop us going forward. We would see them crumble by the power of our confession and declaration. I praise you, Lord. You are a God who speaks. And I ask in this hour that we will not only have your written word, but Father, we will start to hear more and more of your voice. You said your sheep hear your voice, Lord. We will start to be more close with you, Lord. We will start to be more intimate with you. And the things that we hear in the closet, we will decree and declare them from the rooftops. Because, Lord, we are a victorious, we are an overcoming people by faith. By faith. I pray for the faith. Right now, Lord, I pray for the faith as you prayed for Peter's faith. Our character may fail. Our actions may fail. That's all okay if our faith holds up. But if our faith fails, we fail. I pray for the faith. I pray for the faith of every person in this place. Where faith has grown weak, where faith has become enfeebled, Father, I ask right now that you would breathe afresh on the life of every head here, Lord. That in every home, Lord, you would do a new work in the area of our faith. That we would be a people who are able, who understand, who have knowledge of how powerful your word is. And that we would be a people, Lord, who understand that your word, Lord, contains victory and life and healing. It is the word of spirit and life. And that, Father, our faith in that word would be fully persuaded. I praise you that you're doing a wonderful thing. I praise you that you're doing a new thing. You know, Hezekiah was faced with those angels, with those people that were attacking Sennacherib. You know how the victory came? The angel went forward and destroyed the army, 165,000. But not until Isaiah brought the word and decreed it. Thank you, Jesus. Angels. Angels will work for your people in this church, destroying obstacles, enemies by your power. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that we are a victorious people, that we are a people who have our challenges, who are hated by the enemy, but we are victorious. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through faith in your word. Let it be so, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. All the people said,
Amen.
Amen.